Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough studio, the traveling Built Ford Tough studio from Glen Oaks Country Club. Boomer Esiason Foundation golf outing, another beautiful day. You dial up the best weather for this day every single year, and another really nice one. All right, so we spent a lot of time with the Yankees, a lot of time with the Jets, only touched on the Giants at this point, and the momentum that was building from the win over the Chargers into the beginning of this game was undeniable. I mean, with two touchdown passes from Jackson Dart to Theo Johnson, bang, bang, you're thinking, all right, you've got a bad team, you get out to a lead, the Jackson Dart mojo is going, no one's even thinking about the Malik Nabers injury when you're up 14-3, 14-6, and then, of course, you know, the defense falls apart, the pass rush is non-existent, big offensive play, huge fumble return for a touchdown, and turnover, turnover, turnover. It's just so frustrating. I know that you have to live with the growing pains of a young quarterback and all of that, but, I mean, you had that, you were in complete control of that football game against a bad team that hadn't won the entire year and a quarterback who had never won a start of his, and you let it slip away. So that was a game the Giants should have won and just coughed it up. Really, really disappointing, because now things obviously don't get easier with the Eagles, the Broncos, and the Eagles again.
And by the way, Kellen Moore gets his first victory. You know, if you took Spencer Rattler out of the equation and you just looked at the Saints players, there are a lot of recognizable names and a lot of good players on that team, especially at the skill positions. And those skill position players made plays yesterday for Spencer Rattler, and he made plays too. They couldn't control him when he took off.
Yeah.
You know, and that was another part of the problem. And I'm sure that Jackson Dart had nightmares about the underthrow flea flicker. He also had kind of an underthrow at another deep ball to Darius Slayton. By the way, Darius Slayton most likely is not going to play on Thursday night against the Eagles. They are basically falling apart. Yeah. One player at a time, especially at the wide receiver position.
By the way, Jerry didn't realize it, but he just walked right by and ignored Bleach Butt again for a second
time. Oh, he did?
Yeah, I just watched the whole interaction. Is he going deaf or something? Because, like, I just saw the whole thing. Bleach Butt goes, hey, Jerry, and Jerry just head down, keeps going.
Again, he just keeps big time in Bleach Butt. I don't know why.
Unbelievable.
It happened yesterday at the Meadowlands, and it happened just again just now.
I mean, in my own two eyes captured this one. But anyway, yeah.
So the point being is that as Jackson Dart is going to go through all these emotions, I think he answered all the questions right yesterday. If I want my quarterback to sound like that. I don't want him to sound defeated, but I want him to sound realistic, and I want him to be a guy that's going to take onus and ownership, I should say, of all the mistakes that he did make. I mean, even Cam Scataboo, you know, he's a guy that everybody loves here, and he has the huge fumble. You have a Darius Slayton catch and a fumble that, you know, towards the end, that would have been a big play, because that would have given Giants even more opportunity to score points. So there were like 10 different things that happened in this game that were due in large part to what New Orleans did to the Giants, but the Giants players, you know, didn't react in kind. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and we're not asking for much. The Giants fan at this point is not asking for much, but just think about how we would have felt if they had won this game, They're 2-3, and then they're taking on the Eagles, which is a team that has had their own struggles, and they are coming off a loss, and their offense has been really, really disappointing. I mean, you could make a case. I mean, you could really get excited for that football game, and now it's just, you know, you're 1-4. And you just lost to one of the worst teams in football, and you're thinking, oh, man, you know, the Eagles are going to figure it out now against us. I mean, it changes the entire feel of the season. I mean, and even if you win and you're 2-3 and you lose the Eagles, 2-4, just it sounds okay. Now you lose to the Eagles. I mean, you're 1-5. I mean, then it's just you're cooked again, and now we're talking about the same thing. So we went from getting a couple more weeks out of maybe Brian Daboll and Jackson Dart could be the combination. You know, maybe this, maybe that. All these positive thoughts we had around the Giants for a week just evaporated down in New Orleans.
So I don't want to call for anybody's job. I'm not about that. I'm about reading different blogs and listening to fan reaction and that type of stuff. And we do talk about that quite a bit here. It doesn't matter what sport, by the way, because all fans have blogs out there and they're probably more in tune to their team than most anybody else, especially when they're really passionate about their team. I have to say this is the first time that I've seen on a fan blog just an absolute evisceration of Brian Daboll.
Well,
I mean, I know that there has been.
Have you been looking?
Because no, I haven't. It's been going that way. There's no question about that. And Dabes is not an idiot. He knows. He's been around a long time. He's been on a lot of different coaching staffs. He's seen other coaches get fired, and he knows what it looks like. You know, and it's the first time that I really saw something that came out and said, you know, get rid of him now. And put maybe Mike Kafka or somebody else in charge or Shane Bowen in charge. And I'm like, I don't know if that's going to be any better.
No, I mean, they're not going to fire a coach.
I don't believe they will either. I don't believe they will either, nor do I think they should. I think that they should let this thing play out for the rest of the season. And let's see how Jackson Dart ends up playing for Brian Daboll. And then when the season is over, then the Mara family, John Mara, can make a decision as to where they want to go with this team. But the one thing that we always talk about on this radio show, and it has to do with how coaches are perceived within their own building, is how many opposing fans or empty seats are there when you get to the end of the year?
Yeah.
In the building that you're playing in.
Yeah, it's empty seats, and it's also other teams' fans coming
yes.
in. Those are the two worst things you could possibly have. So, yeah, I mean, I really think we could look back on this loss in a few weeks and say, man, you just things could have been a little bit different, because you go from we were barely talking about the impact of the Malik Nabers injury after that win, because it was about Jackson Dart, it was about turning things around, it was a new energy. And then you come out and you're leading in the game. So, yeah, this might be the, you know, this stretch here might be the straw that breaks the camel's back with Brian Daboll at the end of the year, which is unfortunate, because this is not what you want. This is when you keep a coach and then draft a quarterback, your hope is that they mesh and then you can continue to keep the coach. But, like, you see what happened in Chicago, where they had to fire Matt Eberflus before the season was over because the guy was just puking all over himself, didn't know what to do in games, and the team was losing again. And, yeah, they go out and get the best offensive coach on the market, but still, that's another offense, another year. It's just, it's not how you want to build a quarterback's confidence or send him into the NFL. I mean, the Giants did it with Daniel Jones. New offense, new coach, new offense, new coach. And that's likely what's going to happen here with Jackson Dart.
Well, time will tell, but I know that the overall fan feeling, and we felt this about a lot of coaches around here, is that I would also say the GM, too, is for that matter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, everybody is now just looking as to who should be the next coach, who should be the next GM, which is, you know, we're 5 games into a 17-game season. This is going to be a long 3-month run.
Which is what we expected.
Yes.
I just wish it wasn't happening so quickly. But that's what the schedule is. You know, I mean, you won a game you weren't supposed to win. You lost a game you probably should have won. And, I mean, the combined wins for these two teams at this point might be 6.5.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We'll start with the Giants. Is that that's what we did 10 at 10 a.m., where, you know, the Giants had some hope going into this game, thinking they could make it two wins in a row, and young Jackson Dart showed, in fact, that he's a rookie. And for me, I think we just got to separate the two things here. Instead of worrying about winning and losing and trying to be relevant this year, it is about evaluating what Jackson Dart can do with Brian Daboll. And through two games so far, I'm more encouraged then discouraged with the Daboll-Jackson-Dart connection.
I'm very encouraged with Dart. I'm not encouraged with Daboll. It's just a lot of evidence here to the contrary. He just, you know, the team just has a lot wrong with it. And I'm not going to let the illusion, although actually I don't even think it's an illusion. I would say the blossoming reality, probably a better way to put it, of a young quarterback and a head coach who appear to be on the same page. That doesn't mean I'm going to remain married to a coach that I don't believe is good enough to elevate this team to a championship team.
Yeah, I would rather just have the combination together. We had this conversation in the offseason. I'm standing with what I said then. If they were going to bring Shane and Daboll back, meaning let them make these selections this past draft, which they did, then it's got to be beyond this year. I didn't think that they were going to go to the young quarterback, whoever that would be. Obviously, it's Jackson Dart. This soon into the season, as we're now in week 5, you got the start clearly in week 4, but they have, and now my mind turns from, okay, well, whatever they thought they could do win-wise, it's about evaluation with Daboll and Shane, and I think we're just getting started here in only 2 weeks with young Jackson Dart as a starter.
Let's say the Giants go 3-14. That brings the mark of Daboll. I'm doing really quick math. I don't know, 21 or so, and it's almost 60.
Yeah.
And Dart looks good, but not amazing. Is that enough to say, okay, I'm going to bring it back for year 5?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because you have to let the whole thing play out here, but I'm not chasing. Look, you got to see who's available. You got to see how bad it goes the rest of this year. It's just week 2. Like, the rest of the way, it's going to be the same thing. Oh, fire Daboll, fire Daboll, fire Daboll. And then what's going to happen is if they do that, it's going to be, is it Shane and Daboll both gone? Do they keep some continuity and keep Shane? And why would you do that? Because he's been just as bad, I would argue, even worse than Brian Daboll if they, in fact, finish with that record. And then you're going to have one GM hiring another head coach, and they're put with a quarterback who the prior head coach selected. Like, it just doesn't make sense. We've been down this road before with the Giants as recently as the Daniel Jones thing, having Daniel Jones forced upon Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. So I would do anything I could to avoid that, and it would take disaster for me to move on from Brian Daboll. I'm not saying that it would have to, like, next year, different story. Mm-hmm. It would take disaster this year, meaning that Dart has to look awful and show regression to me break him and Daboll.
So I got you. And now the only thing to me, and this is good for the future, is that, and I didn't know about this. I mean, I saw Jackson Dart play a couple times in college. Obviously, when you're getting ready for the draft, you start seeing the film. You're like, okay, he's a good athlete. He's got some wiggle, whatever. We liked him. But until you really see him, you know, play for your team in the NFL, you don't know. I believe that even, like, Jackson Dart's going to be appealing to any potential veteran coach, which for me changes the mindset a little bit if this thing bottoms out and it's you know, 2 wins, 3 wins, just an eyesore of a season again. Because I think if you're a veteran established coach, I mean, what does Jackson Dart not have except the winning resume? But he would be 1 year in the books.
Right, but who's the coach?
Too? I don't know. But, you know, and that's not a good answer. I'll give you that. But I can tell you who isn't the coach. Yeah. And that's the guy who's been running the Giants into the ground.
But then we could have the same conversation, whether it's, oh, hey, here's an offensive coordinator. Now see what you can do with Dart. Like, I'm actually excited for the first time ever with Dable having his guy. I like that pairing, and it's only been two games. Now we need to see, obviously, a lot more. We also talked about the Yankees, speaking of needing a lot more. I mean, they got their clocks clean over the weekend, and now we're on the brink of elimination yet again. I do not think this series is over. As a matter of fact, I think it's far from over. However, inexcusable. Max Fried, Aaron Judge, and the rest of the Yankees offense. It's not just two games in Toronto. The Yankees bats have been quiet for all of the postseason so far, and then yesterday in particular with Max Fried, your $218 million ace, he hasn't gotten the job done against the Blue Jays all year long.
When the Yankees got whacked in game one, I said, and I almost did this, and I'm happy I didn't, I almost went bonkers by taking the Yankees in four. I almost played that. Because the matchup with Gausman was favorable for Gausman this year. Yanks haven't really ripped. I know a couple of guys have good career numbers, but Gausman's been a bit of an issue for him this year. And I fully expected, Sal, yesterday, once we wiped away the doldrums of the Jets and the Giants, to sit down and to see Max Fried, maybe not be amazing, but certainly be good, and for the Yankee bats to go to town. And instead, we got maybe the most inept offensive approach and results. And I'm not talking about the seven runs they tacked on against lower leverage arms that the bullpen, that the Jays threw out there just to get through the game and piece it together. I'm talking about when the game, starting from the first inning with the empty swings from Grisham and everybody, I was stunned. And because of that, for me, I'll be rooting like a maniac tomorrow night. I really don't know that I have incredible confidence that the Yankees crank out a couple of wins and get this thing back.
Yeah, well,
you
were saying all year long you thought Toronto was better.
I did.
And then you got away from that lately. I thought the Yankees were better all year long, and I certainly thought they were going to be better. Now, I also had no idea about Yesavage. I mean, that guy was as good a pitcher as I've ever seen, including what Schwitler did the other night against the Red Sox. This was even more impressive than that. Like, the Yankees couldn't touch him, couldn't sniff him. And the only way they started to get back in the game was when Schneider took him out. And I understand why he did. It was a blowout. You want to save him, whatever. The thought of that guy again facing this Yankee team, even if it's for a second time in game five in that building, that's not comforting to me as far as having the Yankees win this series. But I fully expect the bats. And they better get going. Like, this is on Aaron Judge. Judge has been awful here. Look at the average. He's had a lot of singles. Great. That's great. Any big spot Judge has come up in with a chance to change the game so far through five games has not happened, and he has failed in that spot. And to me, that's the bigger issue that's been continued from year after year after year, and now series after series so far this year.
Aaron Judge last year, you know, he stood there at his locker at the lowest moment of his professional career after dropping a pop-up all of us would have caught when we were eight. And he took it like a man because that's what he is. He's a high-character performer. He's a consistent performer. Whether he wins the MVP or finishes second, whatever, he's an all-time great player. And he comes out and he puts up this amazing regular season just to let everybody know, all right, this is who I am. But there's got to be another level in October. And I'm sorry, a bunch of singles. I don't care what the average is. For me, the real proof is, what do you do in these moments where the game is on the table? And the way he flailed at that slider on Saturday. And by the way, the two guys behind him did the same thing, basically.
The whole lineup.
The whole lineup. Stanton was awful. I was very surprised at that. And let's say that the Yankees are in a tight game tomorrow. And I do agree, it's been the offense, which has been the main culprit here. And obviously, Fried was awful. But let's say that the Yankees are in a 5-3 or 2-4-2 or 6-4 two-run lead tomorrow. Do we trust Weaver? Is Warren getting the baseball? I mean, I like Cruz more than you, but even I'm not looking at Cruz like I would, you know, like a Stanton or Jeff Nelson back in the day. So there's other things that worry me. I mean, they're hanging by a thread.
Last and certainly least, the Jets.
Yeah, always least, always last losers. Just the most morbid, sad sack, pathetic franchise that I've ever seen. And, you know, listen, I'm not even saying this to, like, get a click. I really don't care. I don't care about the Jets anymore. I just don't. They have broken the spirit of so many people, you know, and everybody kind of has their threshold where it's like, all right, I can't take anymore. This is enough. This is the end of the rope. And for some, it was Bowles, and for some, it was Gase, and for some, it was Saleh. And maybe because Aaron Glenn being a really good player and saying the right things and me feeling it, and me also thinking the Jets might be a little bit better talent-wise than they certainly are, particularly on defense. Their defense sucks. I do not watch them with an ounce of emotion. I no longer watch them with an ounce of care. I also will raise my hand and be the first one to say, whenever they are good, whenever that is, I'll jump back in and enjoy it as much as anybody. I will watch every snap, but I am desensitized to how bad and lifeless they are. They stink.
Maybe that would be the best thing for the Jets organization, because I feel like the negative feel around that organization just will not go away until they start to win, which is very difficult to do, for especially for a young head coach, a first-time head coach, with all the losing that they've done. So you play a great competitive game one, but you lose that game, and unfortunately it's been downhill since. Glenn is a shell of what he was before he got hired here, or after he got hired here. And I think that that storm of negativity is just overwhelming. And if more people have apathy toward this team, which they should, because there's no reason to get in. I was saying this from the beginning of the year. It's not about wins or losses with the Jets. I want to evaluate Aaron Glenn. And if you're doing that, just even aside from wins and losses, it's been ugly. He doesn't have the answers. It's got to get better. But it's so early on in his regime. The talk is already about firing him or potentially somebody else, and that's not healthy. Maybe more people being apathetic toward them could actually benefit the Jets.
Stabilize it. I didn't really think of that. It's a unique way to look at it. I think Joe B is going to be on with Evan and Tiki today, I think. I mean, how does Joe even care? How does anybody care? And, you know, listen, we've been doing radio for a long time. We've all had moments where, like, you know, you get into it with a caller, you're an idiot, you're a Jay, you know, and say things maybe we don't really mean and we wish we could take back. Mm. I really don't say that to him. Like, I don't really call people idiots. I try to be above that. But the Jets are idiots because, I mean, I really mean this. And I need to reassert this, because this was a conscious decision on the part of the Jets. The Jets had 53 guys walk out there in stiflingly hot black uniforms on AstroTurf when it was 88 degrees at kickoff. The Cowboys had white. That was a conscious decision. The Jets actually, and if they didn't calculate the weather, then they really are idiots. If they did and they ignored it, then they're even more idiotic. So I am just, you know where I stand. I really don't care about the Jets.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Nick is calling from Newton. What's up, Nick?
What's up, BT, Sal? How we doing?
Nick, what's happening, buddy?
Sal, I met you this weekend on Saturday. You came in for ice cream.
Yeah, the Denville Dairy. I was going to tell you, BT. So Nick was the one who called us where he was getting married last year.
Oh, I remember that.
During
a
Nick playoff game.
I remember this.
So I went to Denville Dairy with my family. And
you get a little discount to take care of you, Nick?
Nick, all good. But I did have to give him a tip. You know, it was one of those things.
They have
where,
the jar out there?
Yeah.
No, Nick,
not,
come
not
on,
the jar.
Man.
You know what I'm saying, Nick? The little tells you to tack on the tip. I felt obligated after
the digital one?
No, man. Yeah. You're fine, man. You're fine. It's great. It was great to talk to you in person. But, these sports teams, they really did a number yesterday, didn't they?
They did.
I'm a Giant fan. I'm a Yankee fan. I'm a Knicks fan.
Okay.
And I never thought at one point in my life I'd be saying the first weekend of October, God, I can't wait for the Knicks. Oh, my goodness. Like, I watched that first half of that Giant game, and the first two drives look great. And then it just implodes. You switch to the Yankee game, and it's down 9-0. It's like,
Nick, Nick, obviously you've got separate emotions, even though yesterday was brutal. Like, but you, I know you can separate the Yankees and the Giants. Giants have been awful for a long time. Yankees haven't won in a while, but the Yankees are always very good. But you got to at least admit, unlike the Jet fans now, at least you got Jackson Dart, and you get to see where he goes and how he develops, and he's going to pop a few. Like, that's got to give you something.
It does. Okay. It does. I'm more leaning towards BT when you say, I like Jackson Dart, but I don't like Dable. We just look so unprepared.
Yep.
We look unmotivated. We get hurt more than any other team in the league. We look tired out there. By the second half, they all had their hands in their laps like, here we go again. Like, I can't do it. Dable, he just stands there with his arms crossed, shaking his head. And the defense, Shane Bowen, get out of town.
Yeah,
he's got to go. If there's anyone fired before the end of the season, it's him.
It just the problem is, though, Nick, and thank you for the call, and thanks for taking care of us Saturday there. Well, you know, we paid, but he was, you know,
I got you. How was the ice cream? Good? Good setup?
Very good. My wife. No, so my wife's cousin was in town. I told you
about that. You did
so it wasn't just, you know, it was my wife's cousin, my wife, Sammy, and then, of course, I had to get a little something. But anyway, it was nice nice seeing Nick at Denville Dairy. My issue is, if they fire, they can't fire another defensive coordinator, not the head coach. Like, how many coordinators are going to get here?
Keep passing the buck here?
Yeah. But I also don't think Bowen has done a good job. With this defense. They got to be more aggressive. But this was by design. Dable wanted Shane Bowen by design. Those guys got to go out there and attack more. I thought it was idiotic. You talk about the Jets being idiots. I thought it was idiotic to play Abdul Carter on the inside. Like, I don't care who's hurt. Abdul Carter should be playing on the edge. That's his skill set. He's an elite edge rusher. Let him wreak havoc in the backfield. So whose nimwitted idea is it to have him play inside? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Anyway, I can't push back on Bowen, and I certainly can't push back against or for Dable when you look at his record. However, the most valuable thing in the NFL to me is the combination of head coach and quarterback. And this is only the second game that we've seen Brian Dable with his quarterback, Jackson Dart. And in those two games, to me, I'm encouraged about what Dable and Dart can become, even in spite of his record overall.
Yeah, you definitely more than me. You know, I feel like Dable has had a long enough runway just to show some stability in other areas. And again, this is not about, you know, getting on the air and saying that they should move on from Dable today. No, this is just, you know, where I am right now as I evaluate him, where I was at the end of last year, which is where I am now. I mean, I would not have brought him back. I don't see any evidence really to the contrary this year. The only thing that's changed is that a talented player showed up. Like Jackson Dart showed up, and there's moxie, and there's speed, and there's a good arm, and there's a dynamic quality. I don't think that Dable's improved upon anything because they still get highly penalized. They don't look like they're in great shape. Don't love the game plans. They still stink.
But to be fair, like, I'm not sold on Jackson Dart either. I'm just saying I'm excited about the possibility of Dable and Dart together. To be fair to Dable, if his rookie quarterback doesn't have three turnovers in the game, they probably win that game. Yeah. Like, what head coach is going to be able to overcome five turnovers, four of which came by rookies, the other came of which a player shouldn't be in the NFL?
I get that part. I'm not trying to be unfair to Dable. If this was year one or year two, I wouldn't be saying this at all. There's a lot of games that we've watched where I'm sitting there saying, what are we watching here?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Take you back 25 hours ago. You know, sitting there, it's a Sunday afternoon. Tiki's probably all dressed up, watching Giants Saints, getting ready to do the halftime and the post game.
I was not. I was comfy in my sweats in Boomer and Geo's studio.
That's the way to be. Sean was probably half naked watching the game in his pool, all pumped up. I'm sitting there in my TV room. I got this on, I got that on, and it's 14-3. Jackson Dart just converts on a third down and six, finds Theo Johnson for his second touchdown of the game.
Mm-hmm.
14-3, two drives in, two touchdown drives. I'm thinking in my head, when was the last time the Giants or the Jets, but the Giants, opened a game with back-to-back touchdown drives? I didn't even bother looking it up because I was like, you know what? I'm going to let this marinate my brain because it probably hasn't happened in about 150 years. It's 14-3. What are you thinking in that moment?
There's a couple of things I'm thinking.
Super Bowl. I know. Go ahead.
No, not Super Bowl. But this is exactly why you start Jackson Dart.
Yes.
Because he is aware, he is confident, and he is doing exactly what Dave's wants this offense to do. There's no big plays, right? There's no 20-yard plays. There's no 50-yard plays. There's nothing big. It's just methodical. They want to guard against deep balls and play zone coverages and a big shell behind you. Guess what? We're going to throw it to Daniel Bellinger. We get in the red zone. We suck in the red zone. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to find Theo Johnson and mismatch opportunities. And before you know it, you felt so confident in this team. And this was the ultimate tease, though.
Oh, my God.
It was the biggest tease because that we've had in a decade
because it's
from
four,
the Giants.
It's 14-3, and I, as the IFO, I'm thinking, oh, my God, they're good. I don't know how to feel about this.
Oh, don't be fooled.
No, I
don't be fooled because after 14-3, we know what happened.
Well, but that's the thing. At 14-3, I'm going through these emotions of they may be really good. Mm. I saw Tommy Lugauer tweet, we got our franchise quarterback.
You probably do.
I'm thinking of Sean nakedly jumping in his pool. And I'm like, wow, I guess I'm happy for these people. I'm a Jet fan. I'm miserable, but wow, things are good. And even when you gave up the field goal to Blake Groupie, I'm like, you know what? Bend but don't break. It's 14-6. Mm-hmm. No biggie. Thinking of Tommy. No biggie. Jackson's going to get the football back. You're going to march down the field. And then to me, here are the pillars of hell that I saw as an IFO. First of all, this is a surprising one. I don't know if you're going to agree with me on this one. Devin Singletary. Why the hell is Devin Singletary so involved in the offense?
Because Tyrone Tracy has a jacked up shoulder.
Yeah, but you have Cam Scataboo.
But he can't play every play.
And you can also run options with Jackson Dart. Let him use his sexy legs.
That's true.
That drive that ended a punt. Do you know that first, second, and third down all went to Devin Singletary, including a drop?
Mm-hmm.
So Devin Singletary causes the first Giant drive to go nowhere. Then, and you walk me through it, Tiki's, I don't know what the hell's going on. Was it Tyler Newbin's fault? Somebody else's fault? Rashid Shaheed goes 87 yards like he's got COVID and no one wants to get near him.
Right.
And all of a sudden, even though you're still winning, it's 14-13 and all those feelings are changing. It's like, whoa, hold on a second. What the hell just happened?
Well, you're missing a lot here, Evan. A whole lot.
I haven't gotten to a lot yet.
You're watching this as a Jet fan, despondent because the Cowboys are whooping that ass.
They weren't whooping that ass quite yet,
okay,
TV.
But they were.
Time-wise, it wasn't there
about
yet.
To. You felt it was going to happen. There were six things in this game that caused the Giants to lose. Six. And afterwards on the postgame, if you listened right here on WFAN, I said this was a confluence of youth, ineptitude, and stupidity. Now, all six of these things fall into one of those categories. So you want to play a game?
Yes.
Let's play a game.
So I have to pick stupidity or...
You have to, youth? Ineptitude. Or stupidity.
Okay, I'll go.
All right,
go
ready?
Ahead. Yes.
So number one, this is before it's 14-6. So it's 7-0.
Oh, we're going early.
7-0.
Okay.
New York Giants. It's 3rd and 5. This is the second third down that the Saints have, and the Giants get a little pressure, get a little tip on Spencer Rattler's ball, gets picked off by Javon Holland, but it's called back because Deontay Banks decides to pull Chris Olave. After he slips on the turf, he pulls Chris Olave to the ground. So instead of having the ball point blank range, with probably going in to score again, the Giants gave a first down to the Saints. They go and kick a field goal. Ben, don't bring.
Stupidity. Now,
stupidity. Exactly
P.I.
right.
on Deontay Banks. You shouldn't even be playing anymore. Stupidity.
100%. Now it's 14-6 to the point that you got to. You were talking about this Devin Singletary drive. This was not the Devin Singletary drive. This was the Darius Slater drive.
Oh, the first of his like three drops?
Right. So what happened early in this drive? They gear up, throw a bomb. Jackson Dart hasn't thrown bombs all season long, all in his first two games. He throws one. It's a contested catch. He gets his hands on it.
Got two hands on it.
Two hands on it, and he drops it. What is that one?
Okay, so what are the choices again?
Youth, ineptitude, stupidity.
Ineptitude.
100%. You know why it's inept? Because in the NFL, you have to go catch balls. You can't just let them drop into your hands and passively approach them. You have to attack balls. Did you see Jamar Chase. He had this catch in the end zone. It was contested. There was three guys around him. He just went up and snatched it. Two touched it in the end zone. Touchdown. I want that guy. I want Malik Nate. That's Malik Nabers. And we need that guy. Without him, you can't win in the NFL. Because passivity means incompletion.
Because if he makes that catch, that's the third drive. You're at least getting points out of
it. It's 17-6 at the minimum.
Bang.
And the way that they're playing, it's probably 21-6. All right, so the next one. You just went through it. They punted right after that. They have an 87-yard touchdown to Rashid Shaheed. They're playing cover four when you don't want to give up a big play. What defense do you play, Sean?
You play cover four.
Oh, cover four.
Yeah.
Right? One guy's have this quarter, one guy has this quarter, another guy has this quarter, and the fourth guy has that quarter.
Some call it quarters, TV.
It's called quarters for a reason, because there's four guys deep. You know what you don't do in quarters coverage? Get beat deep. So what happens?
Ineptitude.
Ineptitude. Tyler Newbin decides to not take outside leverage on Rashid Shaheed. He's stepping on his toes 10 yards deep, and he's still backpedaling. He gets turned around. He's on a top, and all of a sudden, he loses sight of Rashid Shaheed. And when your eyes lose a guy who's running 4-3, guess what happens? You get beat for an 87-yard touchdown.
Shaheed you later.
Exactly. So that was number three. And then, how do we respond? How do we respond to that?
That would be inexperience.
No, they punt.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm jumping to the...
they just punt.
The Darius Slayton missed catch and then... fumble. Actually, that's ineptitude again.
The Giants are bad. They punt. The Saints get the ball back. They're going to drive. They miss a field goal.
Yes.
A missed opportunity. It's now the Giants' turn. It's the Giants have a shot here.
And at this point, you have the lead 14-13.
Yeah.
There's a minute and a half to go. So worst case scenario, you're either up 14-13 or you're up 17-13.
100%. They miss the field goal and they throw it over the middle to Darius Slayton.
Yeah, that fumble was a killer.
And what happened?
He put the ball on the ground.
What is that one?
Ineptitude.
There you go.
There's a lot of ineptitude next to Darius
Slayton.
They're
standing right next to Darius Slayton. They go into halftime, down now 16-14 because they gave up another field goal right before halftime. They come right out. Giants get the ball back. They dump it down. They get first downs. They're starting to drive. And guess what happens? Jackson Dart fumbles the football.
Uncontested.
Nobody's swapping it away.
It was literally dropping it.
Now, what is that?
That's called, well, he's young, so inexperienced.
It's youth. Yeah. This is the I hate rookies moment. Even though I love Jackson Dart, that's the I hate rookies
moment.
Well,
what was he doing with that football?
I don't know. I don't think he knows. And that's the problem. When you become a runner, you have to put the ball away. You have to. If you don't put it high and tight, put it somewhere where you're not in harm's way. And so that was youth. The Saints then go and they score and they kick another field goal. Don't break defense. The Giants are doing well. But with that being said, the Giants are down 19-14. You know what they do on their subsequent drive?
Yeah, they march down the field.
They respond. They march right down the field, get right into the red zone, and guess what happens?
Cam Scataboo showed off his
youth.
Which
one is that?
Youth.
Rookies are dumb.
Exactly.
What the hell? Well, that one, see, the better one about that is that it was forced.
Well,
like it was punched out. The Jackson Dart one was dropped like the way I drop things in my home.
Yeah, but this one was, so when I go back and I watch this play, because I did multiple times, I'm like, what went wrong here? Well, first of all, Jermaine Illuminor gets beat inside. And so
he had a rough game.
He had a rough game. He gets turned, his inside foot is back, so he gets beat across his face. But then I'm looking at Cam Scataboo.
And I'm
looking at Cam Scataboo, and I'm like, all right, what happened? How did he fumble this? Well, he's so fast. Like, I remember when I was a rookie, I was so fast. I'd see a hole, and I'd be like, I got to get to it. And I didn't get really good until I realized, let this thing sit a little bit. Sit, boo-boo, sit. Right? Just chill. Like, wait for the play to happen. And if Jermaine Illuminor, who gets beat across his face, if Cam is waiting for half a beat, he steps outside of Jermaine Illuminor, and he basically hits his head on the goalpost. Because it cleared out this massive, it was a great play design. You had all this movement going to the corner. The defense is covering the wide receivers and Jackson Dart, who are moving right. The lane is just wide open. And so that was youth and inexperience. And so when I think about why the Giants lost this game, and people are pissed off because they called our show post-game, and they're saying, this is the same old. I'm like, this is not the same old stuff. It's the same result, but it's for different reasons. And so much of it is youth. They got a young team. They got the fourth youngest team in the NFL. And Jackson Dart is going to take some time for him to learn not to make dumb mistakes like that. Cam Scataboo, he'll realize, if I'm just a little bit patient sometimes, I can be even more impactful, not just ramming my head into everybody, going full speed 100% of the time. I know that feels good, and we love it as fan bases. We're going to love him as a runner and a blocker because he's just so dynamic. But be patient.
Yeah.
Sometimes patience is better. And then, ultimately, the only way this Giants team is going to get good is if the ineptitude and the stupidity goes away. And sometimes that means turning over a roster. Like, I can't see Deontay Banks have another penalty that's devastating to this team. I can't see our wide receiving core, which is supposed to take this opportunity with Malik Nabers out and thrive and find a way to elevate Jalen Hyatt or Darius Slayton or whoever the hell it may be. They're not those players. Right? We don't have a playmaker. The idea that we can create big plays is a fantasy. And so you can't win in the NFL without it. So there is so much that still needs to be done despite the good feeling that Jackson Dart gave us last week. It was fool's gold. It was iron pyrite. It was beautiful because we beat the Chargers, one of the best teams in the AFC. But the reality is this team is a long way from consistently being good.
They are, but I remember last week, there was so much going on, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the Yankees, Jackson Dart euphoria, killing the Jets, that I said to you late in the week, boy, you know what's an underrated story? We all know it matters, but it's not getting enough attention. It was Nabers going down with his injury.
Of course. We didn't talk about it because the wild card round.
Right.
Because how bad the Jets were.
And even to a degree.
And more importantly, how great Jackson Dart looked.
Yes. Dart looked great. And it's like, yeah, all right, Nabers is out. You saw it in this game.
100%.
And this may seem extreme. I don't think it is. I think you'll agree with me. I know one player won't make the difference. If Malik Nabers is healthy,
mm-hmm.
if Malik Nabers plays yesterday's game, the Giants kick the Saints' ass.
I agree.
Because it isn't Darius Slayton on the field with two massive drops and a back-breaking fumble. It's Malik Nabers.
I agree.
Who's not making those mistakes. And so,
well, even if he's not making the mistakes, he's going to catch the ball.
Right.
You have to go get the football. It's not going to come to you. Right? I know it feels easy that way, but this game isn't easy. It's not supposed to be easy. The other team gets paid as well. And so, until that has changed, until that solution is found, the Giants are going to have these issues. They might be able to piece together wins, but there's an accountability that's missing here, and it's frustrating to watch week in and week out.
WFN NFL football is powered by Verizon, and I think this is where it is the same old, same old. So, yeah, the mistakes that were made were different. There was a lot of youth, a lot of inexperience, some ineptitude. Here's where things feel the same. After this game is over, and I'm thinking about it, I'm going through, all right, what the hell happened? Joe Shane started to become a guy you're pissed off at again because you're saying to yourself,
right.
And I remember saying this to you Thursday and Friday, and we'd have like an advanced discussion about it. I said, boy, you take Nabers away. Is this the worst wide receiving room in the NFL? And we were like, yeah, it's up there. It is.
Yeah.
And so I go back to the GM and say, you couldn't have put together a better room after Malik Nabers. Not that you're game planning for him to be out for the season, but you like to have a couple of solid players in there. And when you look at Jalen Hyatt as a waste of time, they should cut him. There is no use right. for Jalen Hyatt anymore. Don't tell me he can stretch a defense. He's got enough.
Well, you can't stretch a defense if you don't throw the deep ball.
Well, but true.
Right.
But also, he's a non-factor when he's out there.
I agree.
Darius Slayton, I hate to continue to pick on him, but that was miserable yesterday. And now he's hurt.
He had probably the worst game of his career.
He did.
It is what it is.
But look at the rest of the room. It's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost unfair to Jackson Dart now to watch him navigate the rest of his rookie season when he's throwing to, he's better off throwing to me and you.
Well,
obviously you are a lot better than me, but you know what I mean?
He's better off throwing to the tight ends.
Yes.
And when you think about that,
I saw that,
it just shows you that the explosion is not going to be there. And I think the problem is this team wants to be explosive. It's what the DNA was designed to be, but they don't have the horses to do it. And so there's an identity crisis. You know what I mean? Mm. And so Cam Scataboo could be the answer, but he only had 7 carries yesterday. Maybe when Tyrone Tracy comes back, there's more of an explosive bend to their offense because he is a game breaker, both as a pass receiver and as a runner. But we don't know when he's coming back. He thought he was going to play this weekend, but there was no way he was ready. So without explosion, it gets really hard to go station to station to station. You got to go first down to first down to first down to first down to first down, and then you got to be really efficient in the red zone. Now, the Giants were efficient in the red zone, but it's hard to go station to station each and every week. just mistakes happen. And we saw that in bold colors down in New Orleans last week.
And it's obvious when you turn the ball over, not one, not two, not three, not four, five times,
yeah,
you're going to lose.
Yeah. Fumble, 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 six, interception, interception, turnover on down.
And as we're watching this game, and this is what I appreciate sometimes with stats, even though stats can be annoying, we're all thinking the same thing. Now we're all like, hey, this is really inept, all these turnovers. When was the last time that happened? And I was thinking about it, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to look it up. I'll wait till after the game. The broadcast told us this, but I started to play a game in my head, like, all right, when was the last time a team turned the ball over five times in a row?
Mm-hmm.
And the game squared me back to, which Jet game was it?
Was it really a Jet game?
Well, take a listen to this stat about the Giant turnovers and how it, of course, it involves the other garbage New York football team.
This will make New York fans feel better. The Giants are the first team with giveaways on five straight possessions in 9 years since the Jets did it against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Thank you, Andrew Catalan.
And I want to make every Giant fan feel
that's
better.
Great.
Because I'll never forget that game once he brought it up. I didn't think about it.
9 years ago.
9 years ago. It was 2016. It was against the Kansas City Chiefs. How many times did the Jets turn the ball over that day? It wasn't just five. It was five in a row.
Five in a row.
But how many in total was it?
I have no recollection of that.
You want to play a game?
They're playing the Chiefs.
They're playing the Chiefs.
It's in Kansas City or home?
Alex Smith. This was at home, I think.
Wow.
Now my memory tells me it was at home. I'll double check that.
Mm-hmm.
It's at home, 70% sure. Alex Smith is the Chiefs quarterback. The Jets don't turn the ball over five times. They did it five times in a row. What was the grand total of Jet turnovers? You want to guess, Sean?
I'm going to guess seven.
That's a good guess. Seven. Higher.
Really? By the way, it was in Kansas City. That
was I got that wrong. My apologies. Eight turnovers.
My gut was going to be eight.
Eight. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
You only have 12 or so possessions in a game.
I know. I know.
Two of them went for scores in that game.
Of course it did.
Oh, so that's why they had more possessions, because they were turnover sixes.
That's right, because they kept getting the ball back.
Right.
They lost the game like 28-3. It was one of those games where
that's
despite...
That's actually surprising.
That's what I was going to say.
24-3. You gave them too much credit.
My apologies. I guess I remembered a little bit. 24-3. That despite eight turnovers, they kind of had a shot in the game. And that's the weird thing about the Giant game. Like, they had a shot in this game.
Of course they did.
A lot of the mistakes you went through, the ineptitude, the youth, all that, if one of those things goes the other way, they may win this game.
Right.
But it doesn't make you feel better, because the Saints are supposed to be bad. They are a bad team.
Well, they play hard. That's the problem with the Saints. They're not getting blown out in a lot of these games. One game I think they did, but they were in every game. And so you knew that they were going to be in the game. And when you hand it to them with the turnovers consecutively for five straight possessions, you guarantee you're losing. That's frustrating. Who's that on? Is it on the coach? Sure, obviously. It always
trickles. It's on everybody.
It always trickles uphill, but it's mostly on everybody.
Yeah.
You're right. You could pick and choose whose fault it was in this game. And it was everybody's fault, ultimately.
1-10 had Jackson Dart play.
I mean, he had three turnovers.
I understand. I didn't say it was an easy question.
Three.
You're giving him a 3 out of 10?
100%.
That's rough.
When you lose three turnovers, you guarantee your team's
that's
not winning.
That's a 30 on a test.
That's
Have you
right.
ever gotten a 30 on
right.
a test?
He needs a retake. Right, he better beg his teacher for a redo on this one.
Yeah. Rookies are dumb.
Can I get some extra credit?
Yeah,
whatever the heck it is.
Here's your redo, Jackson. The Eagles, and they're pissed on a Thursday.
Well,
good
not,
luck.
They're not that good anyways.
Oh, wow.
I'm just kidding.
See about that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.